May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Please be seated. I've spent a good part of this weekend on retreat with the vestry, getting to know them a little better and letting them get to know me a little better, having important conversations about where we are as a parish. Part of our time was spent sharing stories of our faith, what God is doing in our lives, and how we can witness to that divine action. And during the course of hearing those stories, a theme emerged. We are blessed. We are privileged. We are rich. God has given us so much. And the question came up, are we doing enough with what we've been given? I think that question merits further reflection for all of us. I discovered this weekend that the vestry is a group that is very rich indeed, rich in resources, but even more rich in God's own loving kindness. And I know that richness in God characterizes the parish as a whole. I've seen that in you, even in the short time that I've been amongst you. In the parable that Jesus tells us today, we see an example of a rich fool who is so isolated from his community by his obsession with his possessions that he gives no thought to God or anyone else. The parable is actually set into motion by a question about inheritance that hasn't been shared. This question reflects a rupture of the community at its most basic level, the family. Now, Jesus says he isn't interested in acting as judge or arbiter, but he responds to the question as though he has indeed judged the situation and has seen greed at the heart of it. So he tells a story about a man whose heart is filled with such greed that he has no one to talk to but himself. I mean, this guy's got it bad. When you get to the point where your community is the pile of stuff that you've accumulated and you are talking to yourself about yourself, that is a sad state to be in. On the surface, it looks like this rich guy's got it made. Let's call our rich guy Ebenezer. Eb for short. Eb has so much bounty that he's running out of space in which to store it. We might think that's the kind of problem that we'd like to have, right? Well, that depends. What is the price of this bounty? What has it cost Eb? What has it cost his community? Eb is a rich man. And in Luke's gospel, that generally spells trouble for that person. We see this theme from the very beginning of the gospel when Mary, the mother of Jesus, sings of how God is working in the land, overthrowing the powerful and sending the rich empty away. The problem with being rich isn't necessarily having money. The problem with being rich is what you do with it and what you let it do to you. For example, the only rich person who comes out okay in Luke's gospel is little Zacchaeus. Remember that guy who climbed up the sycamore tree so that he could see Jesus as he went by? Zacchaeus saw something transformative from his perch up in that sycamore tree that he comes down and gives away half of what he owns to the poor and the needy. Eb, on the other hand, doesn't even consider sharing his wealth with his family. I wonder if Eb is actually the older brother of this guy that asked Jesus the question in the first place. Eb seems to live in a universe that exists solely of himself and his stuff. In fact, he's so self-absorbed in this universe of Eb that he talks to his soul as if it were a separate entity. It's almost comical. And I will say to my soul, "Soul? Yes, Eb? You've got lots of good stuff. It's time to eat, drink, and be merry." "Why, thank you, Eb. Don't mind if I do." I mean, who talks to themselves that way? But the problem for Eb is that God interrupts this conversation with himself. "You fool. This very night, your soul is being demanded of you. Bye-bye, soul. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?" In the very moment of his self-congratulation, Eb loses his life, his soul, and all his stuff. Kind of a bleak place to be. And although our lectionary, for some reason, leaves us in that bleak place, Jesus does not. The next words in the gospel are, Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing." Life is more than having stuff. Jesus goes on, "And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. Instead, strive for God's kingdom, and these things will also be given to you." It isn't so much about what we get or have. It's about where it comes from, what we choose to do with it, how we choose to live. Eb isn't a fool because he's rich. Eb is a fool because he's been so consumed by getting stuff that he hasn't stopped to live. Life isn't for getting stuff. Life is for providing for our needs, yes, and those of others. Doesn't mean we should feel bad about the things we have, whether we've earned them or they've been given to us. It just means that we have a responsibility that comes with what we have. A responsibility to consider the welfare and the needs of others and to use what we have accordingly. And I'm happy to say that from what I've seen so far, it's not been long, but from what I've seen so far, that sense of responsibility in community is alive and well here at Holy Trinity. Life is for loving God and our neighbors. Y'all get that. And it's also for taking time regularly to relax and enjoy all these things, preferably in the company of those who get that too. We call this Sabbath. God has given us a world and has asked us to take care of it and each other, and he has commanded us to stop and celebrate this incredible gift of life. Sabbath is one of the ways that we live the outer life in the inward sanctuary. That's a quotation from one of my favorite 20th century theologians, Howard Thurman. And that inner sanctuary he's talking about is that place where love may make a dwelling, as we just sang. It's the place where the Holy Spirit makes a dwelling. Particularly when we celebrate Holy Eucharist, the great thanksgiving for all that God has given to us, Sabbath has the power to heal us and make us whole, and to remind us of that responsibility we have to God's created world as God's beloved children. We come together week by week to make holy the gifts that we have been given, as represented in our offerings of money and of bread and wine. And as these offerings are sanctified, made holy, we are introduced to that kingdom where we can be made whole, maybe just for a minute or two, perhaps not yet quite completely. But in this holy space, healing happens as our inner and our outer lives come together. In those hushed and holy moments of the sharing of the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation, we are given the opportunity to find what we're looking for when we seek God's kingdom and its righteousness. That is the time for me when my outer reality is most unified with my inner sanctuary, the place within me where the Holy Spirit dwells. And I hope that's true for each of you. I don't know about you, but in those moments, I'd much rather be rich toward God than store up stuff for myself. And every time we are here together to worship God and re-encounter the holy mystery of dying to self and rising to new life in Jesus Christ, the riches of God's grace supply that bridge between the outer life and the inner sanctuary where the Holy Spirit dwells. Love comes down, indeed. So, beloved souls, eat the bread of heaven, drink the cup of salvation, and cheerfully fulfill our responsibilities to take care of each other, those out there, so that we remember to ask ourselves, and often, are we doing enough with what we've been given?